Blog Talk Radio.
Going into the corner, Gordie Howe goes in to fight for it. He and Zinkenkopf have it. Back to Walt, not in front. Here's Bobby Howe, shoots, scores! Bobby Howe!
Dudon trying to make a play. Lemieux steals, and he's up against Raymond Bourque and Adam Oates. Coming to the Bruins, they got around both men. Cutting for the net, he's in on goal. Hey! Charlton scores! What a goal!
Brunet carries in, rolling in front of him, and in a shot! He's our dad following the play, and he misses the short cut. Here he is again. Scores! He's our dad!
Hockey fans, you're listening to the hard-checking, kick-saving, sudden-death scoring NHL breakdown. I'm your host, Scott Levy, joined as always by George Crook, ServoExperts.com. We're bringing you all the on- and off-ice action, as well as keeping you fans and you fantasy owners fully informed at the top of your respective leagues with our fantasy reports, including the IR line update, goalie report, and waiver wire recommendations. Today is, of course, Monday, October 8th. Happy Columbus Day for those in the United States. Happy Thanksgiving for those in Canada. That's part of the reason why we're having a little bit of an early show today, because of that holiday day for all of us. I'm a little bit sleepy-eyed still because I'm a lazy guy and get up really late in the day, generally speaking. But either way, we got things ready to go for you. Maybe a little bit of an abbreviated show today. At least compared to what we've been doing for the last 6 weeks or so, having a little bit overextended show. But why don't I shut up and get two things? And George, before we jump into the fantasy reports, which is once again going to be the main focus of today's show, I kind of want to get an idea of some first impressions. And truly, this is first impressions. Nothing's going to be, like, you know, for anything I say, anything you say, going to hold you to it. I mean, after all, we only have, I believe, three teams that have played three games. Most of the rest of the league just playing two games, and then we also have about a half a dozen teams just playing one game so far. So obviously we're not that far into the season, and even if you look at this first full week of the NHL season, at least from a fantasy hockey standpoint, from Monday through Sunday, about 40% of the league, just shy of 40% of the league, is just playing two games this week. We only have three teams playing four games this week, and the rest obviously playing the standard three games in a week. So, you know, you can sort of make an argument that it's sort of a light start of the season, like first week and a half. But again, having said all that, George, give me one, two, three things, whatever you got, you know, that just sort of maybe jumped out at you in these first few games of the season, the first weekend of the NHL season so far. George, anything strike you in particular?
Well, I think the first thing that strikes me is a lot of goals being put up on the board. I mean, we've seen a lot of high-scoring games, which I don't think anybody truly expected. I mean, yesterday in the first two games before the night game, before the LA Kings game, I know I tweeted out at one point, there was 20 Gordon two games. There was more than the football game at that point. It was after halftime. I mean, think about that. 26 goals were scored in two games. All right, so right now, I don't know if it's goaltending that's playing poorly, defense is playing poorly, if offense is just ahead of those two right now. But that's the first thing that struck me. That's not the only two games we've seen high-scoring games. That's unusual. I guess, once again, the smallest of small sample sizes, Montreal's playing pretty well. We thought they were going to be a dumpster fire. I still think they will be. But they're playing better than we thought. Beat Pittsburgh the other night, which is a shock. Maybe Pittsburgh took them lightly. But Montreal looks like, at the very least, they can skate. And maybe they catch their teams off guard with their speed. So, like I said, that's one thing that I'm seeing here. I mean, Ottawa's also 1-0-1. They haven't lost yet. So, like I said, those are things that we didn't expect. You know, when I say Ottawa hasn't lost in regulation, I should say. So, I guess those are two things that have come to mind. But mainly it's one thing that struck me is the amount of goals that are being scored. I mean, look at it. Toronto, we expect them to score. They already have 13 goals for. Carolina, 12. Washington, 13. And Chicago, 15 goals for. John Tazo, that's a fantasy monster. You know, and all the things we didn't expect here. So I said, all these teams are double-digit goals. There's several other teams with 9 goals already. And like you said, most of these teams have only played two games. So that's what struck me the most by far, is the amount of people lighting the lamp.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a good, at least opening, you know, impression there, you know. And one of the first things I thought when you said it, and, you know, the thought crossed my mind as well, is, you know, is the NHL finally getting what they're looking for post-lockout? Because certainly when we came out of the first big lockout and all the rule changes, you know, one of the things that we were talking about was the fact that the NHL was looking for more offense, looking for more four games rather than 2-1 and 3-2 games. And they got a little bit of an initial burst in that. And then, you know, a couple of years after that, things seemed to sort of, you know, pull itself back, I guess. Teams sort of acclimated themselves to the new rules. And you just sort of have to wonder if this, you know, again, is sort of a little bit of that. You know, especially with the annual rule tweaks of coming down on certain penalties as opposed to other, or if this is just going to be a short-lived thing and have to do with something that is not entirely in common. You know, we've seen it in all sports, in baseball, that, you know, at the beginning of the years, the pitchers are usually ahead of the hitters, you know, for those first couple of weeks of the season. In the NHL, you see both of it. Sometimes the goaltenders seem a little bit behind. Sometimes the scoring seems a little bit behind. So in 2 weeks, is it going to sort of roll back to how we're really more used to, or is this more offense, you know, sort of a thing that is going to stay here? Just building on top of what you said in terms of first impressions, and again, just saying, you know, pumping the brakes here, not saying that this is going to be the way it is for the rest of the season. How about the Carolina Hurricanes? Another team putting up pretty good offense, especially considering that, oh, I don't know, last 5-6 years plus, maybe even longer, this team has always sort of been struggling to score and averaging 4 goals a game so far in the first, you know, 3 games that they played. Now, yes, I know they scored 8 goals against the Rangers yesterday, and that obviously, you know, provides a lot of the heavy lifting. But they've, in general, they've looked pretty good so far these first 3 games as well. I couldn't help but notice, you know, Chicago playing. I mean, we didn't call Chicago a potential dumpster fire, but we both clearly had them out of the playoffs. And if you look at the predictions around the leagues, they're out of the playoffs now again, 3 games in. So we're not getting ahead of ourselves here because they've also given up 14 goals along with the 15 goals that they've scored. But that was one of the things that jumped to my mind, what you said, George, is Jonathan Davis, 5 goals. And again, just a few games of the season, but I was kind of suspecting that he would have a bit of a bounce-back year, be that 25-plus goal guy, sort of threatening around the 60-point mark rather than sort of be the barely 20-goal guy and sort of floating in the low 50s. You know, in terms of fantasy, that really doesn't skyrocket him too much in my mind in terms of where we have him. And we didn't even have him in our top 40, I believe. When we did our fantasy rankings, you know, so this, you know, if he sort of fulfills that and follows through that, I don't think anybody's expecting 5 goals every 3 games from Jonathan Toews. You know, he sort of makes him that sort of legitimate depth fantasy center, that third or fourth center, if you're going to have that many on your team, again, depending on how your roster is. But it certainly is interesting that Chicago team and that Chicago first line playing pretty well. I believe they had 12 points in the first 3 games between the three of them. As well. All right, George, let's turn our attention to the fantasy reports. And certainly after the lengthy IR report and lines updates that we gave you on Friday's show, this is going to be dramatically shorter, but still some interesting points here and there. Starting in Anaheim, Getzlaf with a leg injury, he's got himself listed as day-to-day. He noticeably hobbled off the ice. There isn't too much information on him just yet. He's supposed to be reevaluated today, but you have to consider him very questionable for tonight's game for the Anaheim Ducks. Doesn't, at least in terms of you know, first impressions that was reported, this doesn't necessarily look like it's going to be a long-term injury. But then again, we don't have a full evaluation just yet. You know, so if you're in a weekly league, especially with the fact that they're playing 4 games this week, if you didn't have better options, you know, I might take the chance instead of putting him in the lineup, especially since they're playing, they have another couple of days off before their next game. So you can sort of take that chance. Obviously, if you have a better option in a weekly league, or at least an equal option, decent option, then you might want to go that way for your fantasy lineup. This really isn't too much of a fantasy impact for the Boston Bruins, but it did strike my notice, certainly for the on-ice product for Boston Bruins fans, that looks like they're going to try Backes as the third-line center between Bjork and Heinen. And just from an on-ice perspective, again, not from a fantasy perspective, I think this has sort of intriguing possibilities, you know, to sort of solidify that top nine, just being in terms of being solid, you know, not in terms of, like, being great scoring guys, but I like what I saw in a little bit of snippets that we got from Bjork at the beginning of last year before I went down with injury. I think Heinen's a nice two-way player who does have some offensive upside. So that's just if Backes can sort of solidify the center position, because they really haven't had a third line center. I thought one of the young AHL guys they had would sort of take the mantle. Didn't quite do it in preseason. They put Corrali there for the first couple of games, and at least from an offensive perspective, he kind of did nothing and is back to playing on the fourth line where, frankly, he is a little bit more of a realistic fit. So you don't need Backes to sort of be the Backes he was in most of his career in St. Louis. But if he could just sort of play that nice, solid two-way game and kick in, see, like, 15 goals this season, might sort of, again, make a nice third line. And then maybe Heinen or Bjork have a little bit of potential in very deeply. Again, not saying anybody should be picked up here fantasy-wise. In Buffalo, I got to say, it was not surprising. And, again, this is early, just a couple of games in. But by the end of the first game, Skinner off that top line with Eichel and Reinhardt. And Sheary move back there. I have a pretty solid gut feeling that that's going to more realistically stay, especially since you think about Skinner, Eichel, and Reinhardt. You had three offensive guys. Not that, you know, Reinhardt and Eichel are completely irresponsible defensively, but that's an awful lot of offense and not a lot of defense and not a lot of sort of maybe a little more physicality that Sheary brings it. Skinner moved down to play with Berglund and Okposo, which is sort of an interesting mix. See if that will stick together. Sort of don't think so, but it'll be they'll certainly have a couple of games or so before make that sort of determination. Also for the Buffalo Sabres, Sobotka was day-to-day with an upper body injury, did miss one game. They ended up playing Eli, who they plucked off waivers from the Dallas Stars. And, again, I don't think he's really an earth-shattering acquisition by the Sabres, but I think he's sort of another sort of slight uptick in terms of that bottom six. So he'll sort of be intriguing just for the on-ice product there. Just kind of want to reiterate what I talked about on Friday when it came to Calgary. Although, again, not earth-shattering, and for fantasy owners who have James Neal, do not panic. But it does look like they kind of like, at least initially, these line combinations with Neal on the third line, playing with Derek Ryan and Dubé. Zarnik looking pretty good, at least so far, on the second line with Backstrom and Tkachuk. The other thing to keep in mind with James Neal, not on the first power play unit, on the second power play unit, but once again, not panicking just yet if you're a fantasy owner for James Neal. Besides, if you did draft him in your fantasy league, he's probably not your top left wing or top winger, I should say. He's probably a depth guy for you. So if he was your first or second winger, then maybe I'm a little bit not thrilled. But that has more to do with your fantasy team rather than James Neal. Chicago is sort of just we already talked about it, made note of that first line with the 12 points in the first three games. Khan, who's playing with Taze and DeBrincat, 2 points so far in the first three games. Looks like he's sort of playing pretty well, at least initially, but it doesn't necessarily mean you should run out and get him. Certainly put him on your watch list, though, because if this does stick, you know, like I said, I'm confident that Taze has a nice, good, solid year. DeBrincat's looking good here in the beginning, so if he ends up sticking as that third guy, you know, he could sort of develop some offensive potential over the course of the year. In Colorado, Kamenev, who we talked about, had the injury on Friday's show, was recalled, should make it back in the lineup. And initially, my feeling was that with Andrew Ghetto still out, that maybe he'd get an opportunity with Kerfoot and Yost on that quote-unquote second line there in Colorado. But Colin Wilson, at least in the first couple of games, has started off really well. So, again, another guy to sort of keep your eye on. I actually don't think he's going to be a fantasy pickup, but in terms of the on-ice product, especially if you're a Colorado fan, he's one of the players I'm intrigued with watching this year and see what it can develop and see if they can give him some legitimate top 9 minutes as the year goes along. In Columbus, Dubinsky left practice yesterday with an undisclosed injury. We don't really have too much information on that. He was supposed to be reevaluated sometime this afternoon, and that's just sort of significant. Again, not really from a fantasy standpoint, but here in the early going, he's sort of being used just as I would expect John Tortorella to use him on that essentially what's going to be that third line with Josh Anderson and Boone Jenner, but they're sort of everything line, the line that they're going to play in all defensive situations in particular, and playing on the third line, they hope to sort of kick in at least a little bit of offense there. So sort of a significant linchpin player for that Columbus Blue Jackets, at least when it comes to on the ice. in Dallas, Nushitskin, with that lower body injury. We talked about a little bit on Friday. Thought he might play on Saturday, but they held him out one more game. He is expected to play on Tuesday, but that has not been confirmed just yet. When he does play on Tuesday, it is expected to play with Spezza and Yarnmark on the second line. In Edmonton, again, we're not making too much of the line combinations just yet, but it was certainly noticeable or popped out to me. I sort of talked a little about Pooltu Jarvi, and I really liked the way that he looked in preseason. Earned the spot on the second line right wing with Drysdale and Lucic, and now he's sort of back on the third line. At least they were splitting time between Yamamoto and Pooltu Jarvi. I wouldn't be shocked if Pooltu Jarvi ends up back on the third line with Strome, and again, that's not necessarily a death knell to his potential, either on the ice or maybe developing fantasy-wise throughout the season, because he has developed a nice chemistry. At the end of last year, developed a nice chemistry with Strome. And I think they can sort of build on that and maybe sort of put him back down on that third line, get him, let him get comfortable, and see where it goes from there. So, again, just in a sort of situation to keep an eye on. Same thing in Nashville, if Fiala was dropped down to the fourth line. Again, too early to sort of panic or worry about that. But Fiala really wasn't looking all that good in the first two games, so this is certainly an early season wake-up call and something that he's going to have to up his game if he wants to get back in that top six, because Yarnkov, who replaced him with Churis and Craig Smith, not going to blow knock your socks off, but at least from an on-ice standpoint, solid two-way player, and if Fiala's not going to step up his game like a lot of us have pointed him to this year, then he's not going to get in that top six, and Yarnkov will probably consistently replace him. In Ottawa, Dzingel with an undisclosed injury listed as day-to-day and questionable for today's game. If he doesn't play, or actually even if he does, this is sort of one of the things I find interesting. Brady Tkachuk, who was thought he would come back and play his NHL debut on Saturday, did not, coming back from the groin injury. He is considered likely today for today's game, was practicing with Duchesne. And obviously we know Dzingel is also with Duchesne, so that could be an interesting thing to sort of watch out for. Again, not making too much out of it just yet. In Philadelphia, James Van Riemsdyk, their big off-season splash, and this is a Philadelphia team, especially under Hextall, who refused to really go into the free agent market until they're ready. They keep themselves ready to get JVR back in Philly, where he started his career, and he's injured himself, lower body injury. It is a knee. Still unclear whether this is going to be a short-term injury or a long-term injury. It looks like he's sure to miss at least a couple of games. But the question is he going to land on IR, and is it going to be long-term? Look for updates in the next 24 to 48 hours on him to get a better idea. And shock of shocks, especially after the last couple of years in San Jose, Joe Thornton with a knee injury himself. It's really a knee swelling on that right knee. And don't forget, he's had ACL and MCL surgery on both knees these last 2 years. San Jose saying, hey, we had some swelling. It's after just a couple of games. We want to take precautions. So they went ahead and sent him home and put him right on the IR. So certainly a situation to watch here. Obviously, he's going to be at least 3 or 4 games just being on the IR, having been put on the IR. But is this going to be sort of a long-term issue here? Initially, it looks like they're going to put Melke Karlsson on that top line, moving Pavelski back to center with Meyer. But especially if this does end up being a long-term thing where, Thornton's going to be out for weeks or even months or longer, do they sort of reunite those lines, especially that top six that they had last year, moving Evander Kane back up into the top six? And again, I said this on Friday, and I still mean it right now. I'm not worried about Evander Kane. 2 goals in the first 2 games, and he's looking good with Donskoy and Simonella on that third line. I'm pretty fine, at least for initially here, if they keep Evander Kane on that third line based on how they are playing. I don't think it's really going to be that much of a negative to his fantasy production. If he ends up moving back in the top six, obviously that just makes you that much more confident. But again, no worries on Evander Kane just yet. In St. Louis, starting the season with some injury issues, particularly on the back line, as Gunderson with a knee and hip injury put on the long-term IR, and Edmondson with a groin injury listed as day-to-day. Jerebeck, who they sort of got off waivers from Edmonton after he was they attempted to demote him after the preseason was over, finally works out his visa problem, so he'll at least be somewhat of reinforcements for the St. Louis Blues. In Tampa Bay, Tyler Bertuzzo with that upper body injury is expected to return. Their second game is until Thursday. And the first game was Saturday, but he is expected to return, probably playing on that third line with Cirelli and Killorn when he does return. In Toronto, you know what? Did Babcock hear me complaining about Kapanen? The fact that I want to see him in that top nine and maybe even higher. I think he's got the potential to be that offensive guy. Enos not really doing much the first game and a half, two games. Kapanen gets an opportunity, and it looks like instant chemistry with Tavares and Marleau on the top line. I'm not saying necessarily to run out and pick up Kapanen, because especially with Babcock of all people and younger players, I don't necessarily think you can count on this kind of thing sticking, but it was pretty obvious Enos wasn't really doing much, and Kapanen did play really well in that one game. And so it's a situation to keep your eye on. Could be a nice fantasy pickup for you. And if you're affected by some of these early season injuries and you're looking for like a 1 week or a couple of game pickups, it's intriguing. I might talk about it a little bit later in the show. And finally, in Winnipeg, and again, not making too much of it, but Peralta and Ehlers sort of bouncing around between the second and third line in Winnipeg here in the first couple of games. As we had reported, Ehlers sort of put a third line with Vissalainen and Roslick and attempt to really sort of balance out the offense even more and make that team even more threatening. Not just have two great top two lines, but three really good scoring lines. Looks like we're trying to work that out to see if that's going to stay together, or they're going to put Ehlers back on the second line with Little as well as Line A. All right, there's your IR and line update report. Turning our attention to the goal report. And, George, usually the first couple of weeks of the season, there's not a whole lot to talk about with goaltending. And I'm totally going to blame you on this, and fantasy owners should, because you kept ringing a warning bell on somebody from Florida, Roberto Luongo, going down with injury. George, does this just prove your point that anybody who would have drafted Luongo should have followed up and drafted Reimer along with him? Or we're not going to sort of play that blame game with fantasy owners if they didn't do that. But obviously, goalie report, starting with Florida and Roberto Luongo, do you have any idea how bad this is? Does somebody, if Reimer still is out there on the fantasy waiver wires, do they need to actually go out and get him now if they haven't already? So goalie report, George, starting in Florida, what do you got to tell us?
Well, I'll play the blame game. I think you were silly if you drafted Luongo and didn't draft Reimer. I mean, you heard from Luongo's own words that he was hoping to play 50-55 games this season. It wasn't like he was setting the bar all that high, boys and girls. All right, he was hurt game one. His own teammate fell on him. They have not said how severe the injury is yet. So we don't know how long he'll be out for. He is on IR, which is not surprising. With goaltenders, you have an injury, you have to go on IR. They have to be able to replace you and get a backup goaltender in there. So they're calling it a lower body injury, of course, God forbid, state secrets and all that. So we don't have an idea of how, is it a tear, you know, a pull, a bruise, what is it? We don't know. All we know is that he's out, and that's a problem. You know, it's certainly a problem. James Reimer will leave a starter in his place. Not that Reimer's great, he's not, but Florida's a good team. And they're going to win some games. You're going to want their goalie there. So Reimer's the man you want. They called up Mike Hutchinson, but they have not said how long he's out for. All we know is that, well, Luongo's out at least three games. So he's out this week. Florida's only playing two games this week anyway. So maybe, if you're lucky, you don't lose anything. Maybe you weren't going to start Luongo this week anyway, depending on who your other goalies were, because of the only two games there, and you don't lose anything. He's back next week, but I think that's probably wishful thinking. I think he's probably out longer than that. And he wasn't the only injury. Jonathan Quick also placed on IR this morning. Once again, lower body injury. They speculate that he may not come back. The Kings are going on a road trip. So they don't think his injury is serious, but they don't think he'll come back until the Islanders actually go to visit the Kings on October 18th when the Kings come home. So keep that in mind. The earliest he can return is October 14th, but they're in the middle of the trip if they want to go that direction. Jack Campbell is expected to start in his place. Peter Budaj was recalled. Budaj is a veteran goaltender. It makes you wonder if this could switch out of rubber dial, get more starts than your typical backup will get. But those are your two injuries. The longer one, Quick, both on IR. Quick is rumored to be more of that he'll be back sooner, that his injury really isn't serious. Luongo maybe is the other direction. Not that it's serious, but not day-to-day item, more week-to-week. Maybe even we won't see him until November. Other news here, there's not really a lot, really. It's disappointing we have this much news just for a couple of days in. Condon's going to start for Ottawa today on Columbus Day, Thanksgiving Day, depending on where you are. Rask will start for Boston. Islanders' Robin Leonard gets his start today. Thomas Greece played great against Carolina, not so good against Nashville, and now the Islanders will play this game again where they just rotate goaltenders. Chicago, no update on Corey Crawford. Anton Forsberg, who's the one of the backups, I guess you would say, after Cam Ward, he was cleared to go. He had an undisclosed injury coming out of practice last week. They set down Colin Dillia, which means Forsberg is good to back up Cam Ward. Cam Ward, you mentioned Chicago scoring goals. They're giving him up, too. Cam Ward hasn't played all that well. Whether it's his fault for defense, his fault, combination of both, we don't know yet. Tristan Jarry, who probably had a chance to back up Matt Murray to begin the season, was sent down to the AHL. He suffered an injury during camp, so really didn't get enough work there. Maybe we'll see him again during the season. And as far as, I guess, news and notes for goaltenders, that is all.
Well, George, before we wrap up the goalie report and I let you go, before I hit the waiver wire report, you know my automatic follow-up question, especially for fantasy owners, one of the things other than your goalie report specifically, telling about injuries and goalie rotations and that sort of thing, the goalie recommendations. As I said at the top of the show, it's sort of a little bit of a weird first full week with 12 teams just playing two games and just three teams playing four games in Anaheim, San Jose, and the Vegas Golden Knights. And like I said, everybody else playing your standard three games. So if you're going to make a waiver wire a pickup for some of those couple of injuries that you mentioned, maybe you got Ward and you're not exactly thrilled with him as your, at least I hope, is your second or third goaltender, but maybe you took a chance on Cam Ward and you're like, okay, the wins are great, but the save percentage and the goals against average, not so great. So you're looking for a little bit of help here early in the season. Whether it be a long-term pickup or obviously more likely a short-term pickup, who are you recommending for pickups for this week when it comes to goaltenders? George?
All right, well, you mentioned it's a strange week. Don't get what the NHL is doing. You start your season, generally you want to start off with a bang. Get your teams out there, get them playing. You have 12 teams have two games. Only three teams have four games, which means 16 teams have three games. I mean, all right, football's in full swing. You're afraid of them, but they're going off for the next 12 weeks. That doesn't make any sense. Are you worried about the baseball playoffs? That's the rest of the month. So I'll never understand how the NHL does their scheduling. I still think they take advantage of their opportunities to really publicize the game here. You mentioned it. 12 teams only have two games. It's a lot. Arizona, Chicago, Dallas, Edmonton, Florida, Minnesota, Montreal, the Devils, the Islanders, the Rangers, Pittsburgh, and Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay is really disappointing because they only had one game last week. So they're only having three games the first 2 weeks of the season. Fantasy owners in certain leagues will be behind the eight ball. The ready to have a lot of Lightning players. So disappointing. What are you going to do? You have to make up your mind. Are you going to start someone like Ben Bishop? You know, James Reimer, I already mentioned here. Dubnyk. I'm looking at top goaltenders here. Matt Murray, who's playing poorly anyway, Vasilevsky. So you got some issues there. There are three teams that have four games, Anaheim, San Jose, Vegas. So Ryan Miller is in play. Their back-to-back is over the weekend at Dallas, at St. Louis. Ryan Miller is pretty much somebody, I wouldn't put him quite in the Reimer category, where if you drafted Gibson, you wanted to get Miller, but it's close. Gibson gets hurt a lot, too. His injuries just are generally more short-stinted. He's out 7-10 days. But it really was close to that category for me as well. Guy, you know, a backup you knew was going to play some. So, but once again, he'll probably be in over the weekend. Anaheim plays Detroit tonight. It's already expected Gibson will even start there. Then they play Arizona, and good chance Gibson gets to start there. Also, Anaheim's beat up. A lot of injuries there, so we don't know what we're going to get from them anyway. San Jose, they play the Islanders today. Martin Jones is expected to start today, which would put Dell tomorrow against Philadelphia. A little surprised they didn't reverse that. Philadelphia, the better offensive team. You think you'd want your better goaltender in there. And once again, Martin Jones is not confirmed today, but that's just we think he's going to start today. So you need to decide that early in the week. Do you want to go Dell tomorrow against Philadelphia? I do. Once again, if you have a package, you're desperate for somebody, you got to take what you can get. You don't have many choices here. You prefer the Islanders over Philadelphia, but you're not getting that. You have a choice. Vegas Golden Knights, they have a midweek. So we have all three teams playing there back-to-back at different times. San Jose, beginning of the week, Anaheim, weekend, and Vegas Golden Knights, midweek. So what are we going to do here? Marc-Andre Fleury, they're probably in against Buffalo tonight. Their midweek is against at Washington, at Pittsburgh. All right, not a lot of fun there. Okay, it's two high-scoring teams, two teams that can be high-scoring, I should say. Do we want to plug in our backup? I'd probably think long and hard about this. Once again, it's the same situation. What if you have, you know, goalies, one of the injured goalies? You got Luongo. You weren't able to get Reamer. You got the Kings. Maybe you don't want the Jack Eichel, Jack Campbell. You know, so it's one of those situations where you have to think long and hard. Is it worth plugging in a backup, though, for one game, you know, Malcolm Subban against Washington or Pittsburgh? I would think long and hard about this. That may not be what you want. It could ruin your ratios for the week. Maybe you're better getting one of those goalies that has two games that's still available on your wire. You know, Ranta could be out there. I'm probably not going Robin Leonard today against San Jose. I don't think I'm that desperate. Islanders only have two games. I don't want to wreck it against San Jose in one game here. So your options are limited this week. If I had to choose out of the guys we're talking about, if you can't get Reamer, Reamer's my number one guy. If he's out there, you're going to grab him. But if you can't get him, I'm liking, boy, out of these three guys who do have the backup goaltenders, I'm really not liking any of them. You go Ryan Miller, even gets, we'll be hoping he gets St. Louis rather than Dallas. Not great. And I said Anaheim's beat up. Dell tomorrow, back-to-back at Philadelphia. That doesn't sound pretty either. You better hope you get Reamer. I mean, I think that's where you're going at. If not, I go get Campbell. King's playing three games. I'll take quantity over quality.
Yeah, the way you sort of laid it out like that, I would tend to agree with you that that Reamer and Camara would certainly be the ones to go. But for player for daily lineup owners, at least having these three backup goalie starting situations sprinkled throughout the week, they could sort of make those choices as the week goes. You start the week and maybe your ratios aren't so good. It's a little bit easier to take that risk on some of these not great matchups that you mentioned, the likely backup starts that we have present. But obviously in week leagues, Reamer or Campbell would certainly be the way to go. All right, George, thank you for your goalie report as well as everything else for today. I'm going to sort of let you go a little bit early as a rare treat, especially with about a month and a half of me keeping you extra long. So I hope you enjoy your Columbus Day, and I'll talk to you on Friday when we have a little bit more of a fuller show. So I'll talk to you later in the week, and we'll go on to the waiver wire recommendations. As George already laid out with a bunch of these teams in terms of the schedule, we just have three teams that have four games this week in Anaheim, San Jose, and the Vegas Golden Knights. And I think San Jose is by far the best of the three teams playing the tri-state area, at least New York tri-state area teams. I should specify that in the Islanders, the Rangers, and the Devils this week, and as well as Philadelphia. You know, from an offensive standpoint, actually all four games look like they have potential. Probably Philly would be the hardest game. Devils play a pretty decent two-way game, too, but they should be able to score. Not having Thornton there, that should be a problem. And actually, you know, I don't think Anaheim's schedule is that bad either. In fact, it might even be pretty good, especially with some of those defensive injuries. I mentioned in St. Louis that they have their last game this week. It's really just more about the piling up of the injuries, but they've had a number of players starting off pretty well. So, again, I certainly would gravitate toward a San Jose player, particularly in a weekly league, but I'm not that shy away from Anaheim either, playing Detroit, Arizona, Dallas, and St. Louis. Don't forget Dallas, you know, looking like they still need to work on their defense a little bit there in the first couple of games as well. So that's pretty good. Vegas Golden Knights, let's see, Buffalo, Washington, Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia all on the road. Again, if you're looking for a sort of cumulative numbers and you sort of have need, it's not a terrible pickup, but certainly San Jose, Anaheim, and Vegas Golden Knights are in that order of priority for the teams playing four games this week. There are a number of teams that have your standard three games this week who I think have some nice schedules, particularly and probably most importantly, the Boston Bruins playing Ottawa, Edmonton, and Detroit all at home this week. So I would be willing to pick up Boston Bruins this week based on that schedule. Also, the Toronto Maple Leafs, especially, you know, I know most of their notable offensive players are probably taken in your leagues, even in shallow leagues, but especially a side player, maybe like a Kapanen that I sort of threw out there earlier in the show, might be intriguing just with the way that they started off offensively. And you're playing Dallas, Detroit, and Washington. Obviously, that Washington game will be a little bit challenging. All three of those games are on the road, but those first two games look like they can make just as much hay as usual, and even against a good defensive team, the way Toronto's been scoring these first two games, it still might be just okay. Colorado, Nashville, and Washington all also pop out to me as teams with some potential this week based on their schedule. As far as specific player recommendations, starting off with some of those sort of priority teams, Timo Meier, a guy that I've talked about a couple times in recent weeks, a player that I like, San Jose left wing, right wing eligible, at least in Yahoo leagues, only 49% owned in ESPN and Yahoo on average. He's got a goal so far in the first couple of games, averaging 3 shots on goal per game, playing on that top line with Pavelski, and as I said earlier in the show, likely Melky Carlson, at least initially, with Thornton out. So he is intriguing, especially with that great schedule that I just talked about. If you're looking for an Anaheim Duck, this is a nice short-term pickup. Again, if you're affected by some of these injuries or you have a number of players just playing 2 games this week where you need a little bit of filler, Max Comtios, starting out really well for the Anaheim Ducks. The left wing is only 3% owned on average in ESPN Yahoo leagues. 2 games in his first, 2 goals in his first 2 games, playing on that second line with Henrik and Silverberg. He's also got 5 hits to go with it, so 2.5 game to start off the year. He is sort of starting off like a man on fire. Again, when this team gets healthy, you've got to imagine it's likely, unless, in the first 6 to 12 games, he really establishes himself. You've got to imagine he's going to get bumped out in that top 6. But for now, he is an intriguing short-term pickup with somewhat of potential long-term possibilities there. But again, for a one-week pickup or a few games pickup, he looks like he'll be a good option. I mentioned that I think the Boston Bruins have a nice schedule, even though they just have 3 games this week. How about trying Donato, the Boston Bruins center, left wing, and right wing eligible, at least in Yahoo leagues, only 17% owned on average in ESPN and Yahoo leagues. 1 goal so far in the first couple of games, and it was on the power play, playing on the second line with Krejci and DeBrusk. Could be a nice short-term fix for you as well. Patrick Marleau, the Toronto left wing, who was also eligible center in Yahoo leagues, only 50% owned to open the year, which is a little bit surprising since we knew he was playing with Tavares, and even though he's 97 years old, he's still scoring 27, 28 goals per year. So snap him up, certainly for a short-term pickup, but a guy who might have some long-term potential for you as well. In the first 3 games, he does have 3 assists, averaging 3 shots on goal and playing on that top line with Tavares, and who I hope will be Kapanen once again. Kapanen also only 7% owned. Again, I'm probably not throwing out and snapping Kapanen up only because I'm not secure enough that Babcock's going to keep him on that top line. But if you're in a daily league, it's sort of an intriguing pickup for a game or two, especially if it does look like he will indeed stick there. A couple other long shots, at least for early filler, with all these teams having just 2 games this week. Jordan Staal, I don't necessarily expect him to keep up the offense, but he certainly started off the season very strong. The Carolina center is only 21% owned on average in ESPN and Yahoo leagues. 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 shots on goal average, and 13 hits, if you have that category in your league as well, in the first 3 games for the Carolina Hurricanes, and playing at least a decent schedule. Vancouver at home, then on the road to Minnesota and Winnipeg, could sort of keep going with a good early season start. And then again another couple players from Vancouver Canucks that I had sort of mentioned to keep your eye on Friday's show, but once again, just putting in the same idea of all these teams with just 2 games this week. Elias Patterson, the Vancouver Canucks center, he does have a pretty high ownership. It's almost 60%, approaching that. But if you're in a league that he's still available, 3 goals, 2 assists, and 2 power play points so far in the first couple of games. But maybe even more importantly, Goldobin, the Vancouver left wing, right wing eligible player, at least in Yahoo leagues, his playing on the wing with Peterson, I think is actually the correct way to say it, actually. He's only 3% owned, a goal and 2 assists in the first couple of games, playing Carolina, Florida, and Tampa Bay all on the road. I'm not sure if I'm really loving that schedule, again, especially the 2 Florida teams, but Carolina, you can sort of still score on, even though that they've played pretty strongly these first few games, so they are sort of more long-shot guys to pick up for this week. But once again, as I said on Friday, I certainly would put them on my watch list. All right, folks, because it's holiday day, that's all that we have today. So we're going to get going, have, as I said, a little bit more fuller show, although only about 5 minutes shy of our sort of normal goal time of 45 to 50 minutes. But we still will be talking on Friday, what I had sort of teased that we were talking about today, but like I said, cutting it short because of the holiday, of sort of talking about watch list players, players who are intriguing, especially if you're in deeper leagues, so maybe not pick up right away, but because of how they're starting the season or because of where they're falling in a lineup, might be an interesting player to keep your eye on, maybe some Yorkies or younger players that could have some potential throughout the season that you just want to keep an eye on as the season progresses so you can quickly snap them up when the time is right, if the time ever gets right, before somebody else in your fantasy league. Either way, have a good holiday afternoon and a good hockey week. We'll talk to you on Friday.